Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Money Mom Show. Are you tired of struggling day after day to reach your financial goals with no success? Do you want to know how to use God's Word as a roadmap to reach your financial destiny? Then this is the show for you. Your host is none other than Sherry Gray, one of America's leading financial coaches. As a host and financial coach, Sherry has helped thousands of individuals and families nationwide, taking them from where they are to where they need to be financially. For the next hour, you will be armed with the knowledge to achieve victory in your finances. You will hear firsthand how Sherry uses biblical principles to teach you how to budget, eliminate debt, and save for your future. And Sherry does it all with a mom's touch, not telling you what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. And now, here's your host, the Money Mom, Sherry Gray.
Welcome to the Money Mom Show. This is your host, Sherry Gray, and the scripture for this show is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 through 31, and it says, Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youth will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And that's such a fitting scripture for our everyday life, including our finances. Sometimes we see our, you know, reaching our financial goals as an uphill battle. And sometimes it seems like we're never going to get there. But the Word of God says we should never give up, not because of our own strength, but because we trust in the Lord. We trust in the one who holds all riches and all finances, and that's the Lord our God. I am honored to have with me this hour Mr. Robert Gostin. I've known him for a number of years, and I wanted him to come onto the show to talk about his transformation from being a car salesman to a partner in a car dealership, and to really provide encouragement to the people out there who say, this is where I am and this is where I want to be, to know that, you know, if you have goals, financial, career, that it is possible. And I just want to tell you a few things about Robert. He is the general manager and VP of Safford Fiat of Tyson's Corner. He has been in the automobile industry for 17 years. He started selling cars in 1996 after spending 3 years in the U.S. Army. He has worked in all aspects of auto sales. He has recently graduated from the National Automobile Dealers Academy with a certificate in general dealership management and has been promoted to partner in his current position. His goal is to one day become president of his own automobile dealership. Robert, thank you so much for joining me this hour. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Sher. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm excited to be on.
Oh, no problem. And we have another person on the line. I didn't know if you had a question for Robert or you're just listening in.
Just listening in.
All right. Okay, very good. Okay, so like I said before, I've known Robert for a number of years. We attend the same church, and he's been in the car dealership, car business, automobile business for a number of years. I did not know one thing about you, Robert. I did not know you were in the U.S. Army. I never knew that.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
No, no problem. I said I never knew you were in the U.S. Army. I didn't know that about you.
Yes.
I never knew that as long as I've known you. That's good. My husband was also in the military as well, and I find that people in the military, they have a certain leadership quality. I don't know if it's something they've learned in the military or what, but they, when they transition out, it seems like they carry those same principles they've learned in the military with their, you know, their careers and business and everything like that. So, very good.
Yes.
Now, I know you talked a little about, and I said a little bit about you, you know, your about your career, but I want to, you know, ask you a little bit about, you know, where you grew up, like where you were raised and all that, so.
I was actually raised in Birmingham, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
It's a city in the middle of the state of Alabama is actually one of the bigger cities, the metropolitan area, as they call it there. But that's where I was raised at, born and raised there. So I'm actually a Southern guy by nature.
And I'm a Southern girl. Everybody doesn't know, but a lot of people know I was born and raised in Mississippi, so lived here for 18 years. So I kind of feel like I'm from both places now at this point. But we laugh and joke a lot about the South and how, you know, our upbringing, how similar it is, you know, being from the South. So, but getting back to your transition from car salesman to car dealership owner, what made you decide to actually get into selling cars, like once you transitioned out of the Army?
It kind of goes back to the Army. I was in the Army and I was stationed in Savannah. I was getting ready to get out. The reason I went in the Army, I just felt like I needed to get away and try it. I think everybody should serve. So I said, okay, let me go serve in the Army. It was time for me to transition. It was in June of 96. But early in that year, I started thinking, I said, okay, what am I going to do? And I always liked cars, so I went to the local car dealership. I was buying a car accident. I met these guys. I was like, I like the lifestyle. I like how they have the freedom. I like how they can talk to people, make people laugh, interacting with the public. I said, they make an impression on people's lives. They actually made an impression on my life. So I said, I got to the point where I was hanging around a dealership. I was in the military. But on my weekends off on Saturdays, I would hang around the dealership just to see what went on. And I got fascinated by the cars, the people, and just trying to put people in a better situation. So I just said, I think this is something I want to try. So I started working towards that.
Awesome. So you would just go in on the weekend on your day off and hang out at a car dealership?
Yep, hang out at car dealerships. And there was this one in particular in Savannah. It got to the point where I was hanging out there so much, they started asking me to work there when I got in the military. I didn't do that, but what I did is when I was in the military, a lot of people come in looking for, they would come to a new duty station looking for cars, and everybody would send them to see me because I knew where to go get a car, and I would help them. I would help them, hey, make sure they got finance. So I got to the point where there's a thing called bird dogging where if you send someone in to buy a car, they'll give you a referral fee. The salesman would give you $50, and the dealership would give you $50. So it got to the point I got so good at it, they knew me in the accounting department when I used to go pick up the checks. So I was like, okay, this is pretty cool, extra money, and I don't have to – it's not really working very hard to get it right at this point.
Right, right. Well, that's amazing. That's a good point. If you were already – you already had a career in the Army, but you knew at some point, I guess you wanted to transition out of the Army, and so instead of you just leaping into your career in the auto business – you decided to, like, shadow and see what it was all about. I think that's a very important lesson for a lot of people who are trying to transition careers, is to kind of test it out. And you took it upon yourself. You were proactive and went out and shadowed people so that, you know, you could figure out if this is something I really, really want to do. Because I'm sure it's not – for you, you love doing it, but I'm sure there are people it may be a hard transition to become a salesperson, I would imagine.
It is. It's not for everybody, but it kind of goes into what I was going to say a little later. But it's not easy. Yeah. But one of the things is if you just know, if you feel God is pushing you in that direction and you have determination in your heart, nothing's going to stop you, no matter what comes your way, because there's going to be obstacles come up all the time in whatever career field you're in. But if you know you're in the career field you're supposed to be in, if you know God has placed you there, if you just keep walking, the storms are going to come. The winds are going to blow, but if you know where you're at and you know God has placed you there, and you see, because you'll see progress. And how it worked for me, Sherry, I would see 5 steps of progress, but next thing you know, a storm will come. 5 steps of progress, a storm will come. And I had to make sure I didn't get focused on that storm that was coming and keep my eyes on the 5 steps of progress I was making.
Right. Kind of like what you think about Peter. When Jesus called him out of the boat to walk on the water towards him, they thought it was Jesus was a ghost on the water. And as soon as he took his eye off Jesus, he saw the wind coming, and he kind of looked away and he started sinking. So focus is definitely something that you have to do if you want to be successful, like you said, in any career. And that was amazing that you found out that was your calling to sell cars, and not only sell cars, but interact with people and to make people happy. You know, everybody needs a car. So. And what made you? You started off in Georgia, but you ended up in North. We live in the D.C. metro area, Northern Virginia. So how did you end up coming to this area? Because that's where your current dealership is in this area.
Yes, I got out of the military, and I actually didn't work in Georgia for the dealership. I used to just bird dog, send people in there, they call it. So
okay,
I moved to Virginia. I had family in Virginia, and I knew I didn't want to go back to Birmingham because it just didn't offer me what I needed. So I moved to Virginia, and when I moved to Virginia, I had a cousin here. He said, hey, come, why don't you come work with me in the heat and air conditioning business? So here's a guy from the South. I had visited Virginia, but I didn't know anything about Virginia as far as where everything was located.
Yes.
So it's a great opportunity. I work at the heat and air conditioning company. I was a parts driver, so I said I can learn the area. They spend like 10 hours at the time. So I can learn the area, and I'll get paid. So I said, no, I know it's not what I want to do long term, but I'm going to do it to figure out the area just to get my foot set in this area. So I got here, and I did that for 3 months. And when I knew the time was approaching, I was coming to the end of my rope with that job. I went to tell my uncle, which is a pastor, I was going to go sell cars. And I got to look like, it was almost like I told him I was going to stop going to church. It was almost the look he gave me. But,
right. He was like, are you kidding me?
But,
are you crazy?
Yes. But I knew I had a conviction in my heart. This is what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And so I said, I just step out here. And it's interesting. If you step out there and people see you're doing it and they see that God's behind you and you're making strides, eventually they'll support you. I didn't have the support up front, I'm going to be honest with you. But as I did and I stepped out, as a lack of a word, stepped out of the boat, the support came along with success.
And that's important, too, because, you know, your family means well. They love you and they're trying to do, you know, they're trying to give you sound advice. But if you know in your heart and, you know, that this is what you really want to do, as long as it's legal, you know, this is your career path, you have to stick with it. And like you said, people will come aboard once they see you making progress and having success. They'll be like, okay, maybe this is what he's supposed to do, right? So right now we're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to leave you with the sounds of You Are I Am by Mercy Me. This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I'll see you in a few.
Yeah.
working with clients and students, I found that creating and sticking with a budget is something that can be challenging. I wrote my ebook, Coming In and Going Out, The Guide to Making More and Spending Less, as a response to the budgeting challenges that most of us face. I, like so many other people, have had times where I've reached the end of the month, was broke, and had no idea how I got there. As I've worked with clients, I've found that many of them have systematically gone deeper into debt because they lived on more than they made and relied on credit to make up the difference. I teach my clients that if they'll commit to living on less than they make by creating a written monthly budget, they'll reach their financial goals. My proven budgeting strategies are outlined in my ebook and will put you on the path to reaching your financial destiny. Email me at sherrygray@themoneymom.org to learn how to get your copy of my ebook, Coming In and Going Out, The Guide to Making More and Spending Less. Welcome back to the Money Mom Show. This is your host, Sherry Gray, and I'm honored to have with me Mr. Robert Gostin. He is the General Manager and VP of Safford Fiat of Tyson's Corner, and we're talking a little bit about how to inspire and encourage the listeners of how he started off as actually a parts manager, I guess a parts person, when he first got to the D.C. metro area, and went from that to a car salesman, and eventually became a partner with Safford Fiat of Tyson's Corner. And last segment, we talked a little bit about how Robert came to become, you know, in the automobile business. And we talked a little bit last segment also about what it takes to become a salesman. We're going to really get deeper into that this segment. Robert, what qualities would you say someone needs to have to become a successful salesman?
I think some of the qualities you have to have, I know you have to have, is you have to like people. You have to like people, and you have to be willing to interact with people. And like I said, you got to be willing not to give up. And so many times in this sector, I've seen hundreds of people come in the car in this industry, and they'll stay and they'll give up. But you have to be willing to have tenacity, not to give up, to keep going. And every day is not going to be, for lack of better words, Sunday. You're going to have your down days. But the thing is, every day you just got to come in and give it your all. And so many times I see people come in, they try for a little while, and they're not as successful as they think they should be, and they quit. Mm-hmm. It's a business in sales. It's not going to happen overnight. But once you figure it out, it's like almost waking up, putting your shoes on. It happens. You do have your struggles, but at the end of the day, it's going to become very, it comes naturally, like a second nature to you. If you like it, and you consistently come in and do it and listen, and because you always have people to train you. If you do that, you'll be successful. So the main thing I would say is have tenacity, be willing not to give up, and like talking to people.
I find that, too, and with people and their finances, it seems like sometimes the goals, even the goals as a salesman, it seems so far away from where you are, and so people tend to want to quit. And I tell people, you can stumble, you can fall, but just get up, get back up, and brush yourself off, and keep going. The people that really win and reach their goals are people who don't give up. Every person that's ever been successful has failed at some point, and the only difference between them and you is the fact that when they did fail, they didn't put a period at the end of the sentence. It was a comma, and they got up and kept moving forward. So I think that's right on. I know you said something about the training. So when someone comes in, they are trained, but like you said, it's a kind of combination between the training and really loving to interact with people, right?
Yes. Okay. You do have training. Like I said, we'll sit down. We have formal training. We'll see you into a week of formal training, but you come back to the store and we'll train you. It's training every day, really. I mean, it's always a scenario you're trying to run. Okay, if someone says this, is what you say. If a customer does this, this is what you do. So there's a lot of role playing there. And every place you go is different. But like I said, I believe in having the people train, because you can never – I don't think you ever have too much training. It does get to a point where it comes redundant, but believe it or not, when you feel it's redundant, that's when I think it starts setting in, when it becomes redundant to you. If it's not redundant, I mean it's not setting in. That's how I look at it.
You know, someone asked me a question about marketing, and I'm not, I don't tout myself as an amazing marketer. I love talking about money, finances, but I, you know, wish I was better at marketing and sell, you know, selling and all that. But they asked me, they were having issues with their potential clients and trying to transition them from a potential client to an actual client. And they said the thing they keep hearing over and over again is that they want to think about it. Can I think about it? Like, how do you get people? And that's, I think that's a common obstacle, challenge that people face. What do you say when people say, you know what, let me just think about it a few days?
All right. It's funny. We just talked about this last week. The first thing a lot of people say when they want to think about it, it's a reason they're thinking about it. And it's not so much, because if you think of, if you look at it, it's not so much they want to go home and really ponder the thought. It's something that's in this whole process that they aren't comfortable with. And a lot of times, say, for instance, when someone came to your house, you went to a car dealership to buy a car, and you like the car, you like the salesperson, but it's just, you just, it's out of your budget. You and your husband talked the night before and said the most we're going to pay is $350 and the payment's $420. He said we're going to really go home and think about it. You're not thinking about the car because you like the car. You're not thinking about the dealership because you like the dealership. You're thinking about the payment. So a lot of times I try to get the salespeople to find out what is it that they're thinking about. It's some in this process that they're not comfortable with.
Yeah.
Because if you're comfortable, a lot of times, if you think about it, if you're comfortable with it, you would probably go ahead and complete the process. But the reason you're not comfortable with something in there, you're not comfortable with it. It could be the payment.
Right.
It could be the price, which will result to a payment. It could be the color. It could be the equipment. So I try to get myself to ask the next question. A lot of times when you're in marketing, you're selling someone, it's just something I want to think about is just putting up a wall. It's an objection there. And the thing is, you have to ask questions. And what I tell my salespeople is just like, if you don't ask questions, you'll never get the answers. And no one's going to get upset from you asking questions.
That's true. That's true. And one of the things I told the person, too, is that when they say, I want to think about it, do you follow up with that person? I think because if you leave it up to that person to call you back, you're putting the power or the ball in their court, and you want to always be the proactive one. I don't know if that's right or wrong, but that's what I said.
Yes.
Or do you find that it's more? Do they, when they say I'm going to think about it, do they actually come back to you, or do you have to, as a salesperson, you know, contact them?
No, I believe you have to be proactive. So, say for instance, someone came in today and they said, "Okay, I want to go home and think about it overnight." If we can't find the objection while they're in the showroom, we can't come to it. If I go out and talk to them, I can't get the objection.
Mm-hmm.
Most definitely, we're calling them back. We're calling them back the next day and find out what's going on, and find they're still in the market, because it's. Sometimes the customer will call you back, but most times they won't.
Yeah, I've found that over time, too. And sometimes people just get busy. They mean well, and they don't remember. They forget. So they may be on your mind, but you may not be on their mind, and time passes, and then you lose that momentum. And so it's definitely, like you said, a good thing to follow up with that potential client, because you never know. When you call them back, you know, it may trigger like, oh, yeah, I was supposed to do this, and, you know, that may be the time that they actually buy. What is something else you can think of to that someone needs to become a successful salesman? Oh, did I lose you?
I'm here.
Robert, did I lose you?
I got disconnected. I had to call back in. I'm so sorry.
Oh, okay. No problem. I thought I muted you by accident. No problem. No, I was saying, could you think of some? Could you think of one more pointer or something else that someone needs to have to become a successful salesman? We talk about not giving up, training, overcoming objections.
They have to have the willingness to succeed. But I think you just have to like people. You have to really like people.
That's true.
You have to like dealing with people, and that's not the easiest task. Trust me. Some days I'm like, man. But you have to like dealing with people.
Yeah, That's true. If you're not a people person, you probably shouldn't be in the sales industry, service industry, or any of the above. So I agree with that. Right now, we're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to leave you with the sounds of You Lead by Jamie Grace. This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I'll see you in a few.
I got waves that are tossing me, crashing all over my beliefs, and in all sincerity, Lord, I want to be yours. So pull me out of this mess I'm in, because I know I'm wandering. Leave my soul back home again, I'm always in yours. And this world may push, may pull, but your love will never fail.
I want to tell you about my Debt-Free Challenge 2013. I challenge my listeners to get on the road to becoming debt-free in 2013. I don't include mortgages in this debt-free challenge, but every other form of credit is fair game. Email me your total debt and how much you've paid towards your debt at the end of each month so I can keep track of everyone's progress. My email address is sherrygray@themoneymom.org. Each month, I'll award a prize to one person or couple who pays off the greatest percentage of their debt. A grand prize will also be given at the end of 2013 to the person or couple who pays off the greatest percentage of their debt for the entire year. The goal is simple. Look at what you're paying now towards debt and increase it to the point that you're completely debt-free by the end of 2013. Whatever you need to do, do it knowing that at the end of 2013, you could be debt-free.
Welcome back to the Money Mom Show. This is your host,
Sherry Gray, and I'm again with me this hour is Robert Gostin, General Manager and VP of Safford Fiat of Tyson's Corner, and we've been talking about his transition and rise from being a car salesman to a partner in a car dealership. And we, last segment, we talked a little bit about the qualities that someone needs to become a successful salesman. We talked about the training, wanting to be around people, customer service, overcoming objections, and not giving up. So definitely qualities that you need if you want to become a successful salesman in any genre. And what everybody wants to know, Robert, the title of this show, what did you do specifically to go from being a car salesman to becoming first a general manager and now a partner at your car dealership? The million-dollar question.
All right. It's not a simple answer, but I'll give it to you.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
When I sold cars, my theory was, after I did it for 2 or 3 years, I looked around. I was like, man, they're hiring everybody for the same job I'm doing. I said, so the job I'm doing really doesn't require a lot of expertise. I said, I want to go to the next level because anybody can walk in the door and do what I'm doing, it seems like. Mm-hmm. So I just started watching the guys around me, the managers. I just started watching what they were doing, watching how they would deal with people, watching what they would tell the banks they're trying to get a deal approved. And I just started taking a lot of mental notes, even to the point I started studying. I was game planning at night. So if I was a manager, this is what I would do. This is how I would tackle a situation.
Right.
Another thing is I had to do, as I did that before, I came over to plan, I wrote it down of what I want to do, and I presented it to the owner at that time. But another key thing I had to do is I had to outwork everybody. And one of the things that most probably I'm surprised most people that listen, I don't have a college degree. I graduated high school, but I wasn't the top of my class. But the thing I realized once I got in the corporate world, if I outwork everybody, I can get ahead. Because you don't, and everybody thinks you have to be the smartest. Smarts help.
No.
That does help, but at the end of the day, it's not the end all, the be all.
If you're
just diligent in what you do, and sometimes you have to, a lot of times, Sherry, you just have to outwork everybody.
So
a lot of times when everybody wanted to go home at 5, I stayed late. When no one wanted to come in at 9, I got there at 8:30 or 8 o'clock. I just outworked everybody. And by outworking everybody and having a little know-how in the process, I just kept moving up the ladder. I wanted to make sure when it was time to promote somebody that they couldn't overlook me for whatever reason.
Wow.
The performance was getting there on time. I had to make sure I cleaned everything out. So many times we go to jobs and say, man, I want to go home. I'm tired. I don't like being here. And somebody's watching you every time. Somebody's watching you. So you say, okay, I'm not going in early. I'm not going on my day off. I made a lot of sacrifices. And and through that, Sherry, through that, I just kept moving up. I got to the point where they had to promote me because guess what? I had all the qualities. I did everything. And when it was time for promotion, they had to consider me. And
that's, you know, Robert, that's a really good point because you can't just do the norm. You can't just go in, clock out, go home. You have to be exceptional. You have to show excellence in your work before people will recognize it. And I often say, you know, you have to, or maybe it's my husband. I don't want to take credit for what he said, but you have to work where you are and for the position you want. If you want to be a manager, you have to show yourself where you are, whether you have a title or not. Do the work of that position you want to be in. And once you do that, they'll see you and they'll recognize you, and then you will be promoted. So that's awesome. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I mean, that was the key. I worked there because I go back to it and I tell people this all the time. I didn't go to college. I took some college. But I realized college was not for me.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the areas I was good at, I don't mind working hard. I don't mind, like I said, doing the diligent things that a lot of people don't want to do. Because the thing is, one thing I realized, and I was talking to someone about 3 weeks ago, Sherry. Everything that's worth something is going to cost you. Even failure. If you think about it, even failure costs you something.
That's true.
Success costs you
That's
something.
That's true.
And the thing
That's
is,
true.
When it comes to being successful, you got to say, okay, am I willing to pay what it takes to be successful? And everybody's not willing to pay the cost to be successful, and I understand that.
Yeah.
But if you want to be successful in whatever industry you're in, it's not as hard as you think. Make it out to be. The thing
That's
is, it's going to take a lot of your time, diligent effort, seeking God, being faithful, and doing all those right things, and it'll happen.
Wow. Now, that's what you did to, you went from a car salesman to a general manager, but now you're a partner. So how did you get there?
You have the million-dollar secret, right?
tell us.
I actually started as a salesman, and like I said, I went to F&I first. And when I went to F&I, I worked at Dillinger enough, and I moved from F&I to sales manager.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what did it for me. I was a sales manager at a store, and we got bought out by another company. The company came in, and Sherry, I'm a type. I don't like, and this has hindered me, believe it or not. I don't like rocking a boat sometimes. So we got bought out by another company. Everything was changing, and I wasn't going to leave. I was just going to stick there and deal with it. But at the time, my wife, she asked me, she said, if they don't believe in what you believe in, why are you still there?
Right.
And so here's another, now God's leaning on me and saying, you need to make a decision. It was another store, Sherry, that wasn't as successful the store I was at. And God was like, go there. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, I went there, interviewed with the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there, and I know I was going from the ground up. I just worked hard, working every day, and started building the store up. And we got to the point where when I got there, the store, we were probably doing 40 cars a month, maybe 50. And in left there September 11th, that July, we did 138 cars. So things had turned around for us. Well, the owner at the time, the principal of the store, he said, okay, Robert, I want you to go to the store we have in Tyson's Corner. I'm a builder by nature. I always take something from small and I build it up as I have done at the other store. And he said, okay, I want you to go to the store. And he practically made it so it didn't take a lot of effort, a lot of resources on my part. He kind of opened the door for me. I'm going to give you an opportunity. And let's see what you do with it. And he gave me the opportunity, so I came here as a VP. And the position I'm in, Sherry, some people work 30 years in the car business and never become partner. So God opened the door for me to just walk in. And interesting, before it happened, I had talked to my uncle, and somebody else had got promoted, and I called my uncle. I said, I thought I should have had that position.
This is the uncle who didn't want you to go into the car business, right? Point that out.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes. So I called him and I said, I don't know what to do. I said, somebody else got promoted. I think I have more building. I think I've been around. I've been with the company longer. He said, Bobby, just stay where you're at. He said, watch what happens. He said, when your time comes, he said, it's going to be so easy. It's going to make your head turn. It's going to happen for you. And that's how it happened.
Wow.
I walked in, I signed papers, and it just happened for me. It was a blessing in disguise. It was a true blessing.
So you were discouraged because you saw someone being promoted and you felt like I could do a better job than that person.
Better job.
And your uncle encouraged you and told you just wait on God and wait and see what happens.
Yes.
And that's what you did. That's amazing. And God opened a door for you, stepped into it. You were saying people are in the industry, some people have been in as long as 30 years before they get to where you are. And you've been in the industry for 17 years and you're a partner. I think that's amazing. I think, I believe, like you said, it's a combination of you using, where you are, seeking opportunities as they come, and really trusting in God that He's going to open those doors for you. And when He does, that you're ready, that you're ready to step into it. That's amazing. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Right now, we're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to leave you with the sounds of Newsboys. This is Save Your Life, and this is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I'll see you in a few.
Whatever it takes to fit in, falling for the the darkness. Get away from the darkness. I can see now you want this, and you know that you need this. Get away from the darkness.
This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I define financial legacy as making decisions about how you use your money so that you and your family are living in financial abundance, which overflows into and impacts your community. Then your family and your community will look at your money choices, see the positive impact on your life and theirs, and want to do what you did. As a certified personal finance counselor, my financial legacy workshops focus on giving, budgeting, building wealth, and leaving a financial legacy. A lot of my students want to focus on investing to build wealth. Unfortunately, most people don't have enough money left over every month to contribute what I recommend and are in danger of not having enough money to last them throughout their retirement. That's why I focus on the heart, giving tithes and offering, and budgeting before I ever talk about investing. If you're going to reach a state of financial legacy where you have enough money to pay your bills, become debt-free, build wealth, retire with dignity, and leave a financial legacy that your family can be proud of, the first step is signing up for my workshop. To learn more about how to become a part of my next financial legacy workshop, email me at sherrygray@themoneymom.org. Welcome back to the Money Mom Show. This is your host, Sherry Gray, and I want to remind everyone, anyone who calls in and asks a question at, you know, any of my shows will receive a free copy of my new ebook, Coming In and Going Out, The Guide to Making More and Spending Less. All you have to do is tell me that you called in and asked a question, and just send an email to sherrygray@themoneymom.org, and I'll get the ebook right to you. This hour we have with us Mr. Robert Gosson. He is a general manager and VP of Safford Fiat of Tyson's Corner in the D.C. metropolitan area. And we've been talking about his rise from being a car salesman to being a partner at his car dealership and what he did to get where he is. And it's a common theme this whole entire hour. It's all about diligence, trusting God, loving people, overcoming objections, never giving up. That's the key. And really putting yourself in a position to work harder than other people around you, not to just do the bare minimum, but work in excellence, in absolute excellence. And when you do that, you will be recognized and promoted like Mr. Robert Gosson. So, what advice, Robert, would you give someone who's thinking about getting into selling cars or someone who wants to move up through their company the way that you did? What would you tell them?
I would say make sure that's what you want to do. The first thing is you got to put your mind to it. So you got to sit down and say, okay, is this really what I want to do? Because as I said in the prior segment, it comes out of cost, and you got to say, okay, is my gain going to be worth what it's going to cost me? And then I think the next thing you want to do is go and walk around, whatever you want to do. If you want to try something new or if you want to move up in the segment, look at the people ahead of you. Look at what they're doing and watch their daily routine, how they come in, how they go. Look at the successful people. A lot of times we gravitate to the people that aren't doing anything, that complain, that, you know, just want to always talk about how bad things are, but gravitate towards successful people in your company. If you can have lunch with the successful people, you can have lunch with some of the VPs or the president, try to get in their presence to see what they did and what they're doing and what they're looking for.
Wow, okay.
And then, like, And like I said, just be diligent about what you're doing. If you're starting at the bottom and you want to work your way up, just realize it's going to take time. A lot of times, Sherry, we don't want to put the time and effort in.
That's true. That is so true. We want things right now. We want it now, and it doesn't happen that way. And it's for our good, really, that God doesn't give us things right away. So.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And I'll tell this story. It was one time, and this happened to me. I got a check for $13, and I don't know whether.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I got a check for $13. A salesperson just wasn't going right, and I got a check for $13. And I don't know if God tested me and said, okay, I want to see how you're diligent, and I want to see where your faith is.
Wow.
So I get this check for $13, and most people will walk away.
Yeah.
I said, man, I'm not doing this. And guess what? That was in the back of my mind. I didn't say it verbally, but I thought it.
Mm, right.
But I just said, okay, I got to diligent stay at this, and I stayed at it, and things turned around.
Wow.
And like I said, I've been on straight commission since day one of getting in the car business, and I tell people that they look at me like I have three eyes, but at the end of the day, you can do it. Like I said, it's going to take some diligence. Sometimes it's going to be tough financial. Sometimes you got to buckle down, but if you know long term, you're going to be better off by doing what you're doing. It can be done.
Wow. And it goes back to what you said in the beginning when you were in Georgia, you were bird dogging and you shadowed people. Even when you came to this area, D.C. metropolitan area, you looked at people and you observed people and you looked at the people that were successful and did what they did. Because if you want to be where they are, you got to do what they did. And like you said, diligence, hard work. That's amazing because I know I tell people with their finances, you know, you got that $13 check. People see where they are as the end. And I always tell people where you are is only your beginning. It's not your end. And you have to see yourself being successful and truly believe it before you can accomplish your goals. Otherwise, you're going to give up every time something happens. You know, things happen. Life happens. But if every time life throws you a curveball, you cower and you give up, then you're never going to see the blessings that God has in store for you. And he has so many things in store for us that are awesome and amazing if we just are faithful and stick to the path that he's put us on. So.
And it's funny. Our pastor, we attend the same church. Bishop had mentioned something.
Yeah.
If you want to be a millionaire, you got to start hanging around millionaires. He said,
that's true.
A lot of times we don't place ourselves and we place ourselves with people that are where we're at right now. But for you to grow spiritually, for you to grow financially, for you to grow in your job, you got to place yourself in the presence of people that are at where you want to go. So if you want to make $100,000 a year and you only make $25,000 now, you got to hang around with people. You got to try to be in the presence of people maybe $100,000. Not that you're trying to be something you're not. No, you want to hang around them because that's where you're going.
Exactly.
And the thing is, just like anything, if you hang around them, you're going to learn something. So every time we go out, I'm with our president. He's a lot more successful than I am. He's my boss. When I'm with him, I pick up something. Every time I'm with him, whether he's doing a business deal or he's talking to someone, talking to a vendor, I learn something every time.
Yeah.
And you can't.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So a lot of... One of the things about being successful, sometimes you have to worry. Sometimes you have to change the company you keep, and that's hard for
a lot
of people.
That is true. I was just thinking about a scripture in the Bible that says, "Speak those things that aren't as though they were," and that's what we have to sometimes do. You got to speak it into existence. No, it's not like that now. But I'm going to speak it like it's already happened. And if you do that and you put your words with your action and you put that with your faith and trust in God, there's nothing you can't accomplish. And like Robert said, we attend the same church. I'll give a little plug, Bishop Greer, Grace Church in Dumfries, Virginia. And so it is true. You got to put yourself in a company of people who are already where you want to be. Now, one thing I did want to ask you is kind of a little, not really off the subject, but this is something I ask all my guests at the end. I call this God is still working. And this is more personal than career business. Can you name one thing about yourself that you can say, God is still working on this in me to take me from where I am to where he wants me to be.
If there's one thing, it's funny you say that. My faith. It's my faith.
Yeah.
And I'll end with this short story.
Mm-hmm.
The position I came from, and most people are going to say, man, why are you crazy? I was probably making the same, if not more money, working less hours with less stress and less responsibility.
Yeah.
So I step in. Now, I have more potential here, but I step in this position, a smaller store, less resources, less people. And I'm like, God, I trust me, even this morning, I'm like, God, it must be something that I don't see.
Yeah.
And
always.
So I would say, yes. So I would say it's my faith, strengthening my faith.
Mm. Yeah. And I think at some point we can all say that, because when you see the circumstances around you, sometimes it overwhelms your trust in God, and sometimes you think more about where you are than where you know God wants you to be. And definitely I can attest to the same thing, the ups and downs that I've been through, my husband, our family's been through. Sometimes it's hard, but like you were saying, you're diligent, and continue to do what you know God wants you to do. And at the end of the day, you're going to be successful, not because of what, not just because of what you did, because you have to put your faith with your works and all that, but because God loves you and you trust in him, and he's going to make it happen for you. Now, Robert, if there's people want to, I know you have a website, but if people want to learn more about your dealership, where can they go?
They can go to Safford of Tysons, SAFFORD of Tysons, OFTYSONS.com, or they can email me at rgostin, RGOSTON, at SaffordAuto.com. And like I said, I'd be happy to sit down with someone and tell them things I've done. I'm not the most successful person, but just to get to this point of things I've done or some trials I've been through that may help them, I'd be happy to sit down with someone, just want to email me and or talk to me or have any questions about buying a car, I'd be happy to assist them.
Oh, awesome. So a young kid coming out is like, I want to do this. I want to be a car salesman. I don't know where to start. They can email you, rgostin@saffordauto.com, and give me your website of your dealership again.
So it's Safford, SAFFORD. Of Tysons.com.
Of Tysons.com. Okay. Very good. Well, Robert, thank you so much for joining me this hour. I really appreciate it. You're very welcome. I asked people to come on. Some people say yes, some people say no, but you did not hesitate. You said yes, I will be on your show. I appreciate it, and it's been an honor having you on this hour.
All right. Thank you, Sherry. Enjoy.
You're very welcome. For all of you listeners out there, you can listen to my live show online at blogtalkradio.com/themoneymom. If you missed a live show, don't worry about it. You can listen to my recordings of my past shows at themoneymom.org. And I've started doing this as a habit. The last song of the show, I go old school. This show is no exception. Going to end it with an old school song. A lot of you may know it. Robert, you may know it too. This is called He's an On-Time Guy by Dottie Peoples. Thank you guys for tuning in and for listening in. This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I'll see you next time. see you.